We're in Jeremiah chapter 8. We'll read the first three verses here. It says, "At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Out of their graves they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served, and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts." He is showing the shame, I guess is the best word, of this people, of God's people. They have, he's like taking the idea of their bones being spread out in front of the sun and the moon and the heavens, because that's who they were worshiping, he says. That's who they were bowing down to. So that's basically what they're deserving. He's not going to be there for them. Death shall be chosen rather than life, because that's what they deserve for turning their backs on God. That's what they were worshiping, so that's what they're going to get, if you will. They have rebelled against God, and so God is turning his back to them. "Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord." Here's another lesson, sermon, if you will, from Jeremiah to the people. "Will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turned to his own course, even or as the horse rushes into the battle." These people had turned against God, but they were refusing to turn back. He says, "Will one turn away and not return?" See, they had turned away from God, but they were not returning to Him. Even though that God, through the various prophets like Jeremiah, had repeatedly tried to get this people to come back, but they just refused. They just refused. They were rebellious. And He says they're backsliding. They've slidden back. They're holding fast to deceit. They're refusing to return. Even though He keeps imploring them, you know, you need to return. "Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord." You know, even the animals understood that there were times, just like we've been seeing the geese, you know, and the birds flying south. Even the animals know that there's times to leave, time to return. But He says, "My people aren't as smart as the animals." And He mentions, you know, the turtle doves and the storks and so forth. They know, but My people don't. They don't understand that. They're rejecting the words of Jeremiah, and they're not paying any attention. They need to come back, just like the birds know to come back. But they're not returning. And He says, the problem is, "My people do not know the judgment of the Lord." And it wasn't that they were ignorant. It was just they didn't want to. They just didn't have any interest in knowing God's law or following it. They just didn't care anymore. So it wasn't so much they didn't know, because they had been told. They just weren't paying attention to it. They knew the truth, but it wasn't doing any good for them. They were just turning away from it. And people are like that today. They know the truth. They know what the gospel says, but for whatever reason, they just refuse to do anything about it. They know what the Bible teaches on this or that or the other, and they're just like these people. They just are refusing to do what's right. So he goes on and says, how can you say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? See, that's what God through Jeremiah is saying. How can you say that you're wise and that you're following the law of the Lord? How can you possibly say that? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Behold, they've rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. This is very familiar or similar to what he's been saying to them in the past. They keep saying, we've not done anything wrong. We're wise. We're following your word. We know what your law is. We're doing it. And God says, no, you're not. You're just fooling yourself. And he talks about false teachers. You know, the false pen of the scribe works falsehood. False teachers have always been around. They're always going to be around. They're never going to go away. And that's not going to change. I mean, even in the New Testament, near the very end, 2 John. Remember what John says there in his letter? 2 John and verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's, you know, those people have always been around that don't bring the doctrine of Christ. And they'll never go away. That's what he's saying. They're never going to go away. He in particular mentions covetousness. Everyone is given to covetousness. The prophets, the priests, they're all dealing falsely. So the people that should know better, the prophets and the priests, they should have known the law better than anybody, but yet they were following everything but the law. They were concerned about material things more than spiritual things. They were lying. They were being deceitful. And as a result, they were leading other people away. All of them were rejecting the word of the Lord. That's what they were all doing. They were all rejecting the word of the Lord. And the people, all of them, thought that everything was fine. Jeremiah has said that over and over and over again. Why do you say that everything is fine? You should know it's not fine. You should know that you're rebelling. You should know that you're coveting. You should know that you're dealing falsely. You should know these things. So why do you keep saying everything is fine? Why do you keep saying that God is going to overlook everything you're doing and that He is certainly not going to send judgment upon you? Why do you keep saying that?
Who are these people listening to? Where are they getting this information?
They're getting it, well, of course, some of the people are getting it from the prophets and the priests, and that's why they have so much responsibility. The prophets and the priests are telling them that everything is fine. That everything is fine. You're doing what you're doing is just fine. God's accepting it. And of course, that's exactly the religious world today. You know, that's why so many religious groups are growing, is because they tell people, you're fine just like you are. Everything is fine. You know, God is going to save you regardless of what you believe and what you do. It doesn't matter. So that is an old problem. Remember, this is about 600 BC, give or take. at this time. So, long time this has been happening. And they're doing, I mean, the prophets and the priests are telling people what the people want to hear, and the people are happy about it. And here comes Jeremiah that's telling them, everything you're hearing is false. But most of the people are not going to listen to Jeremiah, we see in this book. And that when the Babylonian army comes, they're all shocked. Wow, Jeremiah was right after all. But it was too late then. So he goes on, the next verse, 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. The false prophets, the scribes, the priest, they were all giving the people a false sense of security. They were saying that everything is fine. Peace, peace. And so the people thought that everything was fine. They felt like they were healed and there wasn't anything they needed to do. And so Jeremiah is saying, you're telling people that everything is fine. You're telling people that there's peace when there isn't any peace at all. None whatsoever. So the scribes were taking the truth of God's word and twisting it, distorting it, whatever. And the people loved to hear that everything was fine. And people love to hear that today. You're fine just like you are. You don't need to change. You don't need to repent. You don't need to ask for forgiveness. Everything is fine. And that's what these people were hearing. And Jeremiah kept saying, it's not the truth. And Jeremiah is going to get persecuted a lot for telling people the truth. Going to get thrown in prison, going to get put in chains, going to get basically expelled out of the country. I mean, all kinds of things, because he's simply telling people the truth. And he says, were you ashamed when you committed abomination? No. You weren't ashamed. You didn't even know how to blush. And think about how true that is today with people. They don't know how to blush. I mean, our country doesn't know how to blush. Our country doesn't think, most people in our country, at least a lot of them, don't think you should be ashamed of anything you do. That things aren't wrong. Well, that's what these people were hearing. And so they weren't ashamed at, you know, worshiping idols and going after false gods, cheating other people, coveting, being deceitful. They didn't care about that because they kept hearing that's okay. Jeremiah says, therefore they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. Jeremiah says, because you are not feeling shame and you're not knowing how to blush, then punishment's coming. And it's going to be so bad that there's not any grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree. All of those things are going away. And that's exactly what was going to happen to them. God was going to consume them. But the people didn't have any fear of God and what He was going to do at all. And just think about our society today. People don't have any fear or respect for God at all. They just don't have any. Well, that's how these people were back 600 years before Christ as well. So why do we sit still? Jeremiah says, assemble yourselves and let us enter the fortified cities and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. and for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. He's basically saying, why are you sitting still? Why are you doing nothing when you've been warned that from the north, and he mentions Dan, that was the furthest part of the kingdom, because remember that's where the Babylon was going to come from, was from the north. And he says, why are you looking for peace when there's not going to be any peace? God's going to send the Babylonians, and he says the snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. Of course, they came in on horses. And there was so many of them that the whole land trembled. They've devoured the land. They're going to devour the city. They're going to devour the people who are in it. It's going to be like snakes, vipers coming to bite. There was not going to be any mercy shown. If there was not going to be any forgiveness and any shame and any admission of wrong, then this horrible army was going to come from the north and bring punishment. So why weren't they doing anything about it? So, Jeremiah says, I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? So this is a lamentation. This is a lamentation that Jeremiah is giving about his people. So even though he was telling them that terrible times are coming, you know, destruction and death and all of these things are coming, Jeremiah still felt sorrow for them. He was overcome. My heart is fainting. My sorrow is great. And that's how he felt. Jeremiah loved these people even though they were in sin. And he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? And of course that was a medicine that was applied to wounds to heal them. Is there no healing? Is there no comfort for these people? As he says, is there no physician there? He wanted his people to be healed. And so one of the saddest verses in all Jeremiah is verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We've had time to repent. We've been told over and over again through some of these prophets what they needed to do, but the people were still rebellious. They were still stubborn. And what they needed to do was repent. I mean, that's the whole message here, is they need to repent. If they repented, that would be the balm of Gilead. In other words, repentance would soothe their wounds. But that's what these people were not going to do. They were too stubborn. And they were just too stubborn. They were not willing to admit they had sinned. They were too stubborn to admit they had done anything wrong. And so that hard heart was keeping them from having the balm of Gilead. And it was a very sad state of affairs. Well, he continues in describing how sad things are there in Judah. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. See, he's already looking into the future at all the people who were going to get killed there in Judah and Jerusalem. And he says that, you know, there are so many tears that I want to shed. It's just like a river of tears. So this is still the lamentation. He's still lamenting. He's still feeling sorrow for what he knows is going to happen to his people. People that he knew. And he says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. He says, unlike their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. He says, their tongues were like bows that shot arrows of lies. So, I mean, they were deceitful, they were covetous, they were adulterers, they were idolaters, they were liars. These are all the things God says they are. He says they go from one evil to another evil. They're not valiant for the truth. They're not trying to pursue the truth. They're not concerned about it in any way. And so because of that, they just go from one sin to another sin to another sin. And so they end up not knowing God. So he says, everyone take heed to his neighbor and do not trust any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. And he continues talking about how people are telling so many lies that you can't trust anybody. In other words, people are deceiving their neighbors, their friends, their family members, and all their tongues are speaking lies. And they wear themselves out committing sin. I mean, they sin so much and so often that they tire them, they wear themselves out sinning. That's how sad their state is. And this described pretty much the entire nation. Pretty sad state of affairs. Very sad state of affairs, actually. And so, he says, your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them, for how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Refine has the idea again of purifying, purging, like you would purge the impurities out of gold and silver. So he says, that's what I'm going to have to do to them. I'm going to have to purge them. I'm going to have to refine them. I'm going to have to do something to them. And of course, to purify gold and silver, what do? You put them through intense heat. So that's what God is going to do to his people. He's going to put them through intense heat, suffering persecution. And this, of course, is going to come at the hand of the Babylonians. The reason for God sending the Babylonians is to refine and try his people, to burn out the sin, the lies, the deceit, the idolatries, all of that, to burn it out of their lives. That's why he is doing this. He wants to put them through the fiery furnace to see what's going to come out, to see if it's going to be purified. So he says, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? God says, shouldn't I do that? Shall I not punish them for these things? The lying, the deceit, the idolatry, the evil, the ungodliness, the covetous. And so God says, I'm going to avenge myself. I'm going to visit them through the Babylonians. And it's going to be a harsh time. He says, I will take up a weeping and wailing for the mountains and for the dwelling places of the wilderness, a lamentation because they're burned up, so that no one can pass through, nor can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beasts have fled. They are gone. I'll make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals. I'll make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Of course, this is just a picture of total destruction. I mean, that's what he's picturing Jerusalem and Judah being, just a place of total destruction. And remember, you know, years later, when Ezra and Nehemiah come back out of, you know, the captivity, basically, after Persia becomes the world empire, after Babylon. Well, Ezra and Nehemiah come back, you know, to start rebuilding Jerusalem and the walls and Judah. And they come back and they're, you know, they're just devastated at how destroyed everything is. Well, that's what Jeremiah is saying is going to happen. God is going to come in and just make it, like he says, a heap of ruins. And the only people, the only inhabitants left are going to be jackals. You know, just wandering dogs. And that's the only thing that will be there. He says, I will make them, the cities, desolate without an inhabitant. That's how bad it's going to be. Very sad state. But it's all because the people refused to repent. They refused to confess they had done anything wrong. They refused to return to God. They were just rebellious and hard-hearted. And God says, I'm going to try and drive that attitude, that spirit, out of my people by sending them through this terrible time of persecution. All right, well, that's our time is up. So we'll, Lord willing, we'll start there in verse 12 next week.